Rebuilding Ruins is a podcast aimed at tackling heart issues. Let's jump straight to the deep end, because who has time to be sitting in the shallow? We will delve into scripture and use that as our foundational truth, in which we talk all things that have affected women, past, present, and future. So get your tools, ladies. We ride at dawn.
Welcome to an episode of Building Ruins.
I like to do like my own little diddly, you know, to kind of, I'm tapping into the Toni Braxton. Have you ever listened to R&B when you were a teenager? Yeah, that's what I was. That's my inspo. But anyways, guys, I'm so excited because I have a really special guest with me today. Her name is Megan. We've known each other now for a little over 2 years, I think now.
Yeah.
That's kind of a while. But anyways, we met because our kids were at the creek swimming.
Yeah.
And I remember your kids were there. And then I think it was like kind of as we were packing up and leaving, you kind of struck up a conversation because you have 8 kids, right?
Nine kids.
And I have 10. So, of course, that bonded us because we're just like, okay, yeah, there's too many kids to count. So
I had to talk to you.
Yeah. So do you, having a large, you have 9 kids, and that's always like the thing where people are doing that thing when you're walking into a store. Did that ever bother you when people would make comments about how many kids you had?
No, I would just laugh.
It was just like, it didn't faze you. Yeah. I got to ask you, how many times would you get the question? Like, you guys know how that happens, right?
Or they would say, man, you have your hands full.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. We get that all the time. Did you ever get asked if you're like Mormon, Catholic, Amish? Like,
my husband has been asked if he's Amish before. Especially when he had a beard.
Yeah. Okay. Andrew's the same way because he's got the big puffy beard. Yeah. We get that a lot too. We've gotten like people would ask us like weird questions like, do you guys make your own clothes and soap? I'm like, guys, we're not. We just have a lot of kids. We're not, you know, I would like to actually. I would like to learn how to make my own clothes and soap. I mean, I'm not against that. Are you like into the sourdough making?
I've done it before, but I've kind of gotten out of it for a little bit. I take breaks.
See, I always see everybody doing the whole sourdough thing. I want to try it. I'm learning how to just make like basic bread recipe, and I love the taste of homemade bread, but I hear there's like something special about the whole sourdough thing.
Oh yeah, so, it's better for you. Like it's better glycemically for you.
Because it's like more of a fermented bread, yeah, right?
It has a good cultures in it and the natural yeast. So you don't have to even use yeast. It's naturally leavened and
So what is it that you use for like the starter?
You get a culture somebody's made, or you can even catch one in the air.
What?
Yeah. It's fun. You can make it like into a homeschool experiment.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we're going to have to talk more in depth about this.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to have a podcast about bread.
Yeah. I have a lot of science experiments in my kitchen.
Same. That's why our kitchen's always a mess. So how long have you been married for?
It's coming up on the night, on April 15th, 19 years.
So this is really awesome because this episode is going to be released on your guys' anniversary.
I'm really excited about that.
So that's going to be really special. So are you guys going to be doing anything like really special? Any big plans?
We like the Finley Farms in Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
It's really nice.
The Finley Farms. I feel like I've seen that before. Do they sell like, what do they have there?
They have, their food is like locally sourced.
Oh.
And it's just, I'm a good cook, I think, and I don't really like to go to restaurants if it's going to taste like not that good because I know how to cook.
Yes, yes.
So it has to be better than what I can cook if I'm going to go.
I agree. If you're going to, because everything's so expensive.
Yeah,
Yeah. Eggs are like so expensive now. So that's why I was glad that you had some, because I'm like, I'd rather get them from you than the store.
Yeah.
Somebody ate our chickens.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh.
I think it was like a raccoon or something. It happened like while we were gone. That was devastating because we had like 75 chickens.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they've all been massacred. We have a chicken dealer. I'm waiting till he gets some more spent hens from the Amish.
Okay.
Because he usually, so he like, I don't know, he does those like clearance things where he like the Amish who have the Vital Farms.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah. They'll like give, I don't know if they buy it from them, but they're kind of like the middleman between taking those. So anyways, those are our chicken dealers. So we're waiting for them to get some so we can hit them up. Yeah. So, okay. We'll get into the meat of this now, because we had met up in a coffee shop and you shared your story, which really spoke to the resilience of you and your family as a whole, because you had really gone through the fire in terms of like your health. And I'm sure once you're tested in the area of your health, I know like for our family, when Maddox had Lyme, it tests you in every arena, like emotionally, spiritually, as well as physically, of course. But the whole quest of healing can also be challenging sometimes. Yeah. Why don't you like walk us through what was your condition? How did you find out that you had it?
So I got diagnosed with an inflammatory skin condition, and it's kind of a weird name. It's called let me see if I can get this
they
right.
They always are weird, right? Yeah. Almost like Dr. Torres is like, semi-colo-la-ma-la. Let's just say I had a skin condition, girl. Yeah.
It's called hydrogenatous ceropativia.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a flower.
But a lot of people shorten it for HS. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to tell you a little bit what it is. It's like a chronic inflammatory skin disease that affects the hair follicles, oil glands, and sweat glands. They form painful inflamed nodules, pustules, abscesses, which can break open and drain pus. Lesions can also form tunnels under the skin and lead to scarring. Some of the common locations are the armpits, groin, butt area, under the breast, and between the thighs. HS is not contagious and not from poor hygiene. Doctors can't decide what the origin is, but say it's related to blocked hair follicles, inflammation, and genetic factors. And there are certain stages of HS. I was a mild one for years, undiagnosed. But once I got to stage 3, I finally got the diagnosis.
So is stage 3 like the worst stage?
Yeah.
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 So then how many years did it take for you to get the diagnosis?
So I think I've had HS in my 20s, but it was so mild, I wouldn't go to the doctor for that. But I got the diagnosis about 2 years ago after my 9th child. Okay. And it took about like 4 months to finally get it once I really started seeing doctors a lot.
Yeah.
And trying to figure it out.
Did it just like really flare up like after your pregnancy basically? Or
so it started during my pregnancy, and I thought, what's going on? I felt like a lot of pain in my groin area. So and like it felt like something kind of hard underneath my skin. So I asked my OB, and I usually do home births and stuff, but I was having such problems. I was seeing an OB too. And he was like, well, I have varicose veins. So he was like, maybe it's the vulvar varicosities that's forming, and that's what it is. So for a while, that's what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like misdiagnosed for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then was there like anything that he did to like recommend relief for that during that time?
No. And it was extremely painful. So I just kind of had to do my own thing, like hot packs and cold packs and things like that.
And this is during your pregnancy.
Yeah.
So then how did it go for labor and delivery during that process? Because it was kind of in the same vicinity.
So I did have a home birth midwife, but she decided to stay with me and be a support person for me. And she was my advocate. She wanted to, you know, help me out. And I was just so miserable. I was like, I just want an induction, which isn't like me.
Right. Yes.
And so we did. We planned for that. And I got an epidural the first thing I did when I walked in.
Oh, yeah. Because why not? You're already. It's like, if I'm going to have this in the hospital, have a steak and an epidural ready for me.
I just felt like it was so tender down there. And I didn't want them. I didn't want to feel it like if they touched me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I think every woman right now is just clutching her heart like, oh, my God, I feel that. So then, shortly after you had the baby, how long after that did things like really start, you know, flaring up for you?
I thought like having the baby, having my son would be like the cure. I thought, okay, I have him and my blood volume goes back to normal and I would get better, but I just didn't get better. Yeah. And something was wrong. I can just feel it. And around 4 weeks postpartum, I went to back in. I was like, can you help me? This isn't right. And they ordered me a CT scan and gave me antibiotics. Mm. So the CT scan said that I had like a lot of inflammation going on down there. Mm-hmm. And we did the antibiotics. I did another CT scan and it did go down there and they gave me another round of antibiotics. I was like, okay, this isn't curing it. This isn't working.
Did like any of the symptoms subside at all with the antibiotics?
No. And sometimes the HS can get infected, but most of the time it's not. Mm-hmm. So antibiotics aren't the cure all for it.
Yeah. Because this is like a really rare condition, right? So when you go to doctors, not a lot of them are really versed in knowing about this.
It's becoming like doctors are becoming more aware of it, I think. Mm-hmm. But it takes like an average of 7 years for a person to get the diagnosis. And it can be kind of taboo because who wants to talk about like boils in their armpits and then their underneath their breast.
I mean, exactly. It's like already embarrassing to talk about like pregnancy symptoms or anything like that that you're going through. You're just like, that's okay. I'll just die with this. I'd rather just die than to say what is really happening. So how long after you had your son were you able to get like some, let's actually go back a little bit. So how did it affect you? Like, how did it affect your like day to day as a mom?
Well, I became bedbound and I couldn't sit down anymore. And, I fell into a deep depression. I didn't know what was going on. Why can't I sit down like a normal person? It was really scary and helpless just having to lay in bed all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine that. And so then now at this point, how long after you had your son were you bedbound?
So we really wanted to fight, like, what's going on? We didn't want to give up. And my husband actually had to stop working because of me needing all this help. And we have 9 kids at home, too, to take care of. Mm-hmm. And we do have his VA, so that helped. Mm-hmm. But I remember my friend messaged me, like, how are you doing? And I had to ask her for diapers because we didn't have any money. I was kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
And she was like, what's going on? She's a friend that kind of like takes charge in a way. And she didn't like let me get away with not telling her the full truth because I can be kind of private sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so she made a GoFundMe account for us. And like, that's when the floodgates started opening up for, like, help financially for us to keep fighting, like, what's going on? I got to get better.
Yeah.
And so we thought, okay, if it's varicose veins, maybe I need to see a vein specialist. Mm. And so I called the vein specialist at my local hospital, but they wouldn't get back to me. It was a long wait list, so we were so defeated. But the Lord told me, try a different vein specialist. Mm-hmm. So I called Dr. Bailey's office, mm-hmm. and he got me in. And we told him what was going on. And he was a really caring, compassionate doctor. And when it was kind of embarrassing, so I had to show my, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you have to do it the whole time you're pregnant, too. The first few times, it's like, oh, God, do you have to? And then towards the end when you're having the baby, it's like, whatever, just get it out. Yeah, yeah, but, yeah, it is.
So when he looked, he said, holy smokes.
Not quite the reaction you want to hear.
Like, I wasn't offended because I felt like, yeah, I know.
Right, yes. You're validating that there is a concern here. Okay, can we go off of that?
Yeah. So, we find out that he's a former Marine like my husband, it's kind of like it was a brotherhood again. Yeah. And he just took us under his wing, and he was like, we got to get this fixed. Mm-hmm. And so he started making phone calls for me, and he helped me get scheduled for surgery. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea what we were getting into.
So did you feel like that was just like a massive breakthrough? Like, what did that do as far in terms of relief? Because I know it could probably be really challenging trying to navigate, like, where do I even go for assistance and help? Yeah. And like, you started with the vein specialist and you're just hoping to get guidance from there.
Yeah.
And then you meet Dr. Bailey, and he just seems to not give up on you. And now he's like, okay, you know, take charge, like your friend, like we need to get this fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just felt so thankful that he actually cared and that he wanted to help. And we felt like we were getting somewhere, and it's like a first step towards the journey of healing that I needed to do.
How long did it take for you to find Dr. Bailey after, you know, all the flare-ups and everything?
Yeah. So this was in January. It seemed like nobody wanted to work during Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Of course, yes.
I had my son in September, so it all started kind of coming together in January.
Okay.
But surgery didn't happen until March.
Okay, March of that following year.
Yeah.
So you didn't really, he kind of knew who to go to for, you know, to help you further.
Yeah. Like, some of my friends were like, well, why don't you just go to the ER, make the hospital admit you? But I couldn't even sit down, and it was really painful. What am I supposed to do? Just stand there for hours?
Right. And then I guess the question too is, okay, so I get admitted to the hospital. Now what? Because they're already running tests, right? They've already done CT scans and blood. So that's probably the protocol that they're going to do in the ER as well. And so anything further is probably out of their scope to be able to assist you further. So you're getting this massive breakthrough with Dr. Bailey. I am curious, how does this weigh into your marriage? Because does that bring like an element of stress, I'm assuming? Because now most of the responsibility kind of rests on your husband. You're struggling with depression because it's hard to move. And did that hinder nursing and actually being able to mother your kids, you know, the way you are able to do now?
Yeah.
How did all those emotions factor in, and how was the support with your husband? How did that help you?
So I felt so bad for my husband because he had to start selling some of his things, like his welding equipment, and we had to sell our cow that we were going to eat.
Yeah. Buy steak.
But like, we needed money, and that was stressful, but we knew that the Lord would provide. And we just kept praying and hoping. And like, I was able to still nurse, but it was a challenge. I did a lot of laying down to nurse. Mm-hmm. And then for like the mothering part, my kids stepped in a lot. Mm-hmm. And they would, I had a rocking chair in my room and they would rock him for me. We'd have a lot of talks. Yeah. And they'd come in and they would hold the baby and rock him and we would talk. And and I actually memorized my family's footsteps, like,
oh my,
like the sound of their footsteps, like, oh, that's Max coming in.
That is so beautiful. There's this like verse in the Bible that talks about, you know, like I think it's in Song of Solomon, but it's like, you're dark but lovely. Like, even though the situation is like really dark and hard to go through, there's still these beautiful, like lovely memories that you're still kind of pulling, like listening to the sound of the footsteps and having those conversations in your room that maybe you don't want to have them in that way,
right.
But it's still brought about these like beautiful moments from ashes kind of thing. When you like talk about this, do you feel there's residue of trauma or negative feelings that are associated with that?
Yeah, I do. It's sometimes hard to talk about, but like this is my story and I would love to share it with others and encourage others.
Mm-hmm. Like that to me speaks of like a victorious warrior heart, because so many people go through things and it's like shameful thing there, especially with the condition you had where like you said, you're like, I don't want to show those parts. Like, that's a little scary or a little, you know, what's the response or the reaction going to be? And so for you to like share such an intimate battle that you were facing and how it was affecting you and your family just speaks to the warrior heart that you have. And it just speaks to the victorious spirit that erupted from this.
So they call people with HS, we call each other warriors.
It's no wonder.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure it could be also daunting too, because it's such like a rare condition. So it's not really known. So did you have to really scour for answers? I mean, because I know like for Maddox, gosh, I felt like I lived on Google, you know, because it was like the doctors would say one thing like, no, that's not related to Lyme disease. And, but other people sharing their stories is really what brought us breakthrough, because I'm like, well, he's having seizures and it's got to be related to the Lyme, but they were really adamant that it wasn't. And we were talking with the top specialists in the nation. So you want to trust that opinion. You want to believe that. You so desperately want to believe it because you don't want it to be the diagnosis that you fear it is.
Yeah.
But did that bring you some kind of comfort to actually have a diagnosis, like actually have a name to the condition?
Yeah, because a while ago, I started getting like these rashes in my armpits because I also got HS in my armpits too. And my friend's like, have you ever heard of this condition? And I never heard of it. And I totally didn't want to look into it because I'm like, I don't want that.
Right. Yes. There's that fear there. Yeah.
But then when things just kept going the way it was like, maybe I do have that. And I did get the diagnosis as I was in surgery.
Mm. Wow. So you didn't have a diagnosis yet when you did do the surgery.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
as soon as I woke up, I found out this is what you have. I'm like,
oh, you're like, no. And then I think the first thing too, is it treatable? Is this fatal? And all those.
I kind of had an idea because I had looked into it before. So I was like, oh.
Yeah. So how did the surgery bring any type of relief and give you back some mobility?
So first I want to talk about the surgeon went to my husband. He was really downcast and he told Dustin, your wife has this. And it was a hard moment. And he showed Dustin the pictures of my wounds. And this isn't mean or anything, but he wanted to throw up because of how bad it looked. Mm-hmm. And it was about like 20 square inches cut off, including like my butt crack. I didn't even have one anymore.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And like we weren't expecting that. Like,
yeah.
We were like, okay, they're going to drain the boil.
Right. Yes.
Except I got like what they call a wide excision surgery, which they cut out all the bad skin. Oh, and like they take out all the tunneling and it can get pretty deep.
Yeah.
The tunneling and stuff and the pus in there.
So is the tunneling cause, like, is that connected to the veins or is that like
separate? No, it's totally different.
Once you guys knew what you were facing and after the surgery, were they able to direct you to somebody who was going to be able to assist you further?
So I started going to a wound care specialist. Okay. And they didn't give us much info. We kind of had to like dive in ourselves and learn a lot. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard. And the first days of surgery were like torture.
Oh,
it yeah. really hurt.
Yeah, I can imagine. It sounds like for wound care, was that pretty in like invasive in terms of cleanup and having to make sure everything was sanitary, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, my husband had to, you know, keep things clean for me. Mm. Even like when I went number two, he had to keep me clean.
Oh, wow.
And so it was kind of embarrassing, like I was a baby again.
No. You know, it's like, it's so beautiful in a way. It really is, because it's like, you're really getting in. I mean, let's talk about intimacy now. It's like, for better or for worse, yes. It's happening. Mm-hmm.
In sickness and in health.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I know I've heard so many stories of, you know, a husband or wife, they either fall ill or they get some type of like terrible diagnosis, and it ends up causing a deterioration in the marriage where it causes a lot of stress and that ends in divorce because, you know, one party just can't handle taking care of the other one. And then always wondering, is there ever going to be an end in sight? Will mm-hmm. life ever be normal again? Yeah. Is this what, you know, how long are we going to be through this? Did you guys ever go through those moments, or were you guys always pretty positive, and how did that dynamic play out for you guys?
Well, there was moments my husband told me later that he was really worried. Mm-hmm. Like, am I gonna get back to normal, or is this our new normal? Mm-hmm. But we never let that get us down. We were just like, no, we're gonna fight. And he's a brave husband to see his wife in so much pain. Mm-hmm. And to still hold my hand through it all and do my wound care changes. And it just made us stronger together. There was no like deterioration at all. It was just commitment and love and care. I'm so thankful for my husband.
Aww. You know, it's like the city on the hill Bible verse, and it's like a movie. It really is, because the love between the two of you guys is so strong. It's like you said, this isn't going to break us. This is only going to make us stronger, and it's only going to unify us even more. And I'm sure there were weak moments and moments where I'm sure you guys are like, I don't know what we're doing. How are we going to get through this? I know, you know, like my husband and I have had so many of those moments, and, you know, trying to navigate sick kids and diseases and stuff like that. And I just think it's just such a beautiful testament to the love that you guys have, that it was, we're going to weather this, we'll get through this, whatever the new normal looks like, we'll face it. It says a lot of the mental fortitude that you guys both had, where it's like, we'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll get through. I know when we got our baby's diagnosis that he had Down syndrome, I was like, oh my God, what does this mean? And he was like, it's fine. This is great. This is going to be, I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, I don't know. What, did you not hear what you just said? And he's just like, no, it's going to be great. There's something about a husband's strength that I feel gives us confidence and gives us the space. So it kind of gives us permission to be weak. I know I felt that when Maverick and his diagnosis, like, it was okay for me to fall apart because I felt like he was this rock that was like, it's fine. It's going to be okay. We'll figure it out. Like, that was his MO all the time. And here we are. We did, and everything was fine, and we did. He was right. So did you feel like he just gave you that space to focus on your healing? And how did that play into, like, your mental health, the way he was supportive in that way?
Yeah. And, like, I would sometimes ask my husband, I would be, how can I do this? How am I going to do this? Because I would have moments of weakness. And he would say, just take it 1 second by 1 second. And I was like, okay, I think I can do that. And that really helped me. You know, people say take it one thing at a time, but the 1 second to 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, okay, I can do 1 second.
Yeah.
One day seems really big right now. One second, doable.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I love that about your guys' relationship. It is really rare. It's really rare to find that level of commitment and that level of capacity to be able to take on all of that responsibility.
You became a wound care nurse overnight.
Yeah. There's a lot of different roles it sounds like he had to kind of fill in for. And meanwhile, you're just sitting there trying to stay strong. Was there anything that helped you during that season? Like, what was it that you were able to cling to that carried you through that got you through that season?
I felt like I lost all my humanity, and I didn't feel like human anymore. So because the pain was just so unbearable, and I felt like Job when Satan struck him with boils. And I thought of two Bible stories a lot. First, I thought of how the prophet Elisha told Nahum, I think that's how you say his name, to dip into the river of Jordan 7 times. It was so simple, but he still did it. His results was that his skin was pure and clean. His skin became soft like the skin of the baby. And it's like, I want to just dip into something.
Where's the Jordan?
Yeah.
Take me there.
Yes. I was like, I wish I could do that.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
And I just kept visualizing grabbing the hem of Jesus' garment to be healed. Mm. I just kept thinking about that Bible story too, and just touching his garment.
Yeah. Do you feel like, how was your faith during that time? Did it waver at all? Or were you just always believing that there was going to be healing eventually?
Sometimes I'd question, like, why would God let me have this?
Mm-hmm.
But then I knew that there's healing. Yeah. I'm going to claim it.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk out of this.
Yeah. That's, I think, about being in the fire, you know, those fiery seasons, it definitely test your faith, and it really makes you see what people are made of, even in your own circle, because it's like your husband. You really got to see what he was made of. Really got to see his commitment level. And I'm sure it really put your guys' roots that much deeper into the love that you guys have for each other and your faith. Did that way at any point, like on your kids, did any of that like residue ever like filter over onto them, where they were having to deal with maybe fear of what was going to happen to you? Did that have like a bearing on them?
Yeah, I noticed that they felt kind of sad for me. They don't want to see me in pain like that. And they just really wanted me to get better. And they were my cheerleaders too, and cheering me on. But I noticed it was hard on them to see me in that condition. But they just like had this quiet faith with me that mom's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. She's going to fight this. And Dustin would always say to me, you're going to fight this. You're going to get better. But it was hard to hear that, because and it felt like I was going to be in this forever, but I got through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. I got through.
Yes, you did. It's so funny because I remember when we were at the homeschool meetup party and you were sharing a little bit of your story, but the whole time you were sharing it, you were like smiling the entire time you're sharing the story. And you would think that you were just talking about this amazing cake you baked. And I'm listening and I'm seeing your reaction. I'm like, oh my gosh, she is smiling the entire time. You're just like, yeah, I'm kind of bedridden. it's a pretty tough time, but I'm doing great now. I'm doing better. I'm actually going to be going in for surgery. And you're just talking about this like it's Tuesday's plans. Like, yeah, we're going to have a tea party and we're going to do this for the kids. It's going to be great. It'll be fine. And I'm just like, oh my God, who am I talking to right now? Like, this lady is made out of like some kind of material that is not of this earth. And then it just struck me because I'm like, oh my gosh, it was because of the way you presented it. I really had to focus on what you were saying because the way you were saying it was almost like it was a celebration. Like, yeah, now we're going to do it. And then I just had to struggle with this. It was a little bit difficult, but yeah, now I'm walking around and it's great. And I can do more things. I have a little bit more mobility. And I'm just like, wait a minute, what are we talking about right now?
Yeah, I try to find anything to be thankful for.
Oh my, I say so. And I think it's like, It is that component that I can see how you were able to like come through the other side the way that you did, because it is, I can understand like the shame being associated with something that is like not really spoken about, not even really heard about. And then even the feeling of like your husband seeing something that, kind of made him sick. You're just like, oh no, that was me. But, it wasn't you. It was just something that was a part of you. So do you feel like now, like you're kind of those feelings of shame? And
yes.
Was the crossover like from the depressed state, maybe if you've had helpless feelings or feeling of hopelessness, what was the crossover point for you?
Yeah, so there was a lot going on, and I did have someone I talked to on the phone. Like, she was like a counselor in a way, and she helped with releasing different emotions that you might be facing and having, and a Christian woman, and we would pray over things a lot, and that really helped me because I was really down for a little bit. But just having that prayer warrior with me on my journey and being able to talk about that and know that shame is not from the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what the devil wants to put on me, and I'm not going to wear it.
Yeah, that's so... I felt that when you said, I'm not going to wear it. Like, because I was just reading the other day about garments of praise. The Lord gives us garments of praise. So for you to say, like, I'm not going to wear it, it's so valid. It's so true. Like, we choose what we put on. Like, we could put on praise, or we could put on that spirit of heaviness, or put on that shame. And that can really either wear us down or just make our spirits lighter. So now you had to travel. Is that having a counselor over the phone that was able to kind of walk you through and help you process your feelings? And she was a great resource to be able to help you navigate how you were feeling and get rid of that shame.
Yeah.
Knowing what to cling to and what to release. So now, where are you at health-wise at this point after the surgery? And now, where are we at now?
So I did want to share one story during the wound care with the doctor. It was on April 5th, and he had prayed over – he had cauterized some of my wound stuff. Like, it was like this nitrate oxide or something. And as he was doing it, he prayed in Jesus' name that this would never happen again. And I just felt very blessed that he prayed over me, because usually doctors don't bring God into things. And I felt like that was some sort of special blessing an anointing over me.
Yeah.
And I was really thankful. And so I did heal up pretty good, but my butt crack never really healed up like it should. Mm-hmm. And then my armpits were just really damaged. So my husband was really supportive. Mm-hmm. And he did get a part-time job because I was doing better. Mm-hmm. And he was really supportive and said, let's get your armpits fixed. Mm-hmm. And I started joining like HS groups. Mm-hmm. And they have a foundation online, and they had different surgeons. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking into what can I do for my armpits. And the people I saw for my butt area didn't want to do my armpits for some reason.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I need to find someone else. So I kind of want to find a specialist, yeah. I thought. And so there was this guy in Miami, Florida, and we did a video conference, and he was really rude.
Bless those doctors. Okay, I'm already feeling a certain way about this. What was it like mobility-wise for your arms?
Just, I couldn't move them like I wanted to, and they're always in pain.
Yeah.
And I couldn't lift my arms up really that high. Mm-hmm. And they always had like leakage, like yeah. pus leakage, and it was just really painful.
Yeah.
And so this is what the doctor said. He wanted me to go on, it's called Humira. Mm-hmm. And I said, I told him I don't want to take it because of the side effects. And after that, he was mad. He told me, you and your HS people won't take Humira because you all think it has side effects. Where do you get your info? TikTok and Reddit. He then told me Humira has no side effects and that antibiotics are worse. He kept going on and on about it, and I started to cry. He was really brash.
So that was his response to you because you wanted to take control of what you wanted to put in your body. You had some concerns about this certain type of medication that he was wanting to put you on, and you had done your own research.
Yeah.
You saw that there was a list of side effects, which I saw one of them being cancer. So there was, in fact, actually a lot of concerning side effects to this medicine that he was kind of, my term would be, it sounded bullying to me that yeah. he was just kind of shaming you for having your own thoughts on what you wanted to take. Did you find that a lot, like in the support group with other people who were not wanting to take that medication?
Some people, I feel like in the support group, we're all supportive. If you want to take it and it helps you, that's great. But a lot of people are like, it really hurt me. Mm-hmm. It really made me sick. It didn't help me. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, nobody really cares. It's kind of like, it's so individual.
Right.
And some people have different triggers. So we're all there just trying to like, okay, this is what helped me.
Yeah.
It might not help you.
Right. So what at that point, and this was one of the specialist doctors.
Yeah.
So you were just, did you feel like you just kind of had to put up with it just so that you could get the help that you needed? Or how did you end up, did you just break the relationship from there? What happened with him?
So like, I was so disappointed, but I really wanted my armpits done, but I just couldn't get over the way he treated me. And I just, you know, that was it. I'm not going to use that guy.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to either.
So I started looking into different doctors too. And there a lady named Dr. Stephanie Goldberg. She did a like an interview with somebody in the HS Foundation.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, wow, who's her? Who mm-hmm. is she? I want to look into her.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, there's like really no local resources that can help you with your situation. You're yeah. having to go to Florida, and now you're looking, you know, you're at this point, you're looking nationwide yeah. to broaden your shirt. You're just like, yeah. someone help, SOS.
Yeah.
And so you find Dr. Stacy.
Stephanie,
Dr. Yeah. Stephanie. And did you reach out to her?
Yeah, so I gave her a call. And it was so refreshing. It was a different cup of tea
yes.
talking to her. And she said, listen, I don't want you to be scared. I want you to be excited. And that really touched my heart.
Yeah. You're like, oh gosh, I needed this. Yeah. You don't know what I've been through.
Yeah. I needed like a motherly like doctor yeah. who was just, you know, she's going to take care of me. We're going to get this fixed.
Yes. And so she's finally giving you the compassion you need, the compassionate care every doctor should give, and allow the respect in the space to yeah. kind of make your own
choices. She didn't bat an eye when she's like, you take any medication? I told her no, and she didn't, like, question me or, why aren't you on this?
Because Humira, what is that supposed to do? Is it just supposed to minimize the effects or?
So, like, they say that people with HS have an over active immune system, so it kills your immune system.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So then, does that kind of
they say
open you up to other? Yeah.
They say it might balance you, but it opens you up to be more susceptible to illnesses and bacteria.
Yeah.
Just, and I don't think it's good.
Right. So then you find Dr. Stephanie. She's more open-minded. She's more willing to work with you based off of your concerns and your needs, yeah. it sounds like. And then, so was the meeting always between the two of you guys, like over the phone, like a virtual appointment?
At first, yeah. We just talked, and she was actually a trauma surgeon, so before. And then she took a special interest in HS patients.
Wow.
And she just, her heart was for them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, doctors are scared to work on these people, but I don't want them to be. And she was telling me she was going to train more doctors and not be so nervous.
Was there a reason why doctors are nervous? Is it because it's like a really sensitive issue?
It's in such a delicate area. And like, you have to get all the disease out, else it's just going to keep coming back. They seem a little, some of them seem kind of nervous to operate on that. And I'm like really glad she has the background in trauma.
Yeah.
Because it felt like my armpits went through trauma.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. If you could do your best to kind of describe the feeling, what does that feel like? Is it like pins and needles? Does it feel numb? Is it sharp pain? What does that feeling feel like?
It feels like there is some sort of constant pressure underneath your skin. Because it's a lot of pus buildup underneath there. And there's another name they call it, acne inversa, which also sounds like inversa, like in. And you know, it just feels like a constant pressure and pain and tenderness. And like, just don't touch it.
Where are we at now, like with the armpit issue as well? How many months or years are we at this point?
So my ninth born son, he's about a year old, a little over a year old now.
And so you said it was hurt to even like touch, and that had to play another role in marriage, because then you're not able to like really be intimate because touch plays a role. Was there like a lot of grace for that as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my husband's really good with that. He's really graceful, and yeah.
I think if you two weren't married, every woman would be like, Amina, because that's just amazing, you know, to not have to carry that guilt or, you know, that pressure. Yeah. So just be like, oh gosh, he's making me feel guilty because I'm not able to do certain things. You know, there's like so many stories out there. But there's this one guy that I see on, I think it's like Instagram. His wife had a brain aneurysm. And to just see the level of love and devotion that he has for her, he shows how he takes care of her. I mean, like, he has to do everything for her.
Yeah.
But just, he's so committed to her. And I've heard the flip side of the story where they'll just have their spouses admitted into nursing homes or just tossed away somewhere because I can't deal with that. That's a lot of responsibility and I don't want to do that for my life, you know? So it turns into a selfish thing. And so I don't know. It's just, I love any type of relationship that can really capture the heart of God, because it's like our mission to bring a picture of God's kingdom on earth. And that's what gives everybody the desire to be like, oh my gosh, what is it about their relationship that is different than everybody else's? You know, how come they've lasted? How come everything that you guys have gone through has been able to withstand the test of time? And it's like, that is what's so beautiful when, you know, the Bible talks about us being refined in the fire, and here you guys are in the fire, and it really makes you guys shine even brighter as a family. You know, you shine, you are definitely shining. I'm like, you know, I gave that example, you just smiling like, oh yeah, you know, I was pretty much knocking on death's door, but I lived to tell the tale, you know. And then to share the way your husband was in it with you, and God is, you know, was fully committed and didn't throw any type of guilt or shame or frustration. You know, it's just, it's so beautiful. It is such a beautiful relationship you guys have. And your story is just so inspiring, because it puts also the onus for men to rise up and take their place, yes. You know, and for women to allow themselves the permission to feel what they're going through, go yes. through the time to like really grieve, if you have to grieve something, all right. the demands, meet all the demands that we have as moms. But you seem to have been able to give yourself the grace by getting counseling and having that help to navigate and giving yourself the space to say, you know what, this is where I'm at. I don't know how long it's going to last, but trying to not become bitter. Yeah. How did you protect your heart from getting bitter or angry during that time, or even falling into a victim mentality? I don't know if there were moments, but if there were, how did you overcome that?
So I just, again, I had to find anything to be thankful for mm-hmm. and just be positive, because if I'm not, I'll fall into that woe is me, and I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And I'm the thermostat of the home, and my family's going to feel what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And I can control what I'm feeling. And I'm just going to try to think of happy thoughts mm-hmm. and good things. Mm-hmm. And like the Bible says, to think on these things, what's lovely, what's pure, and just keep on doing that. Yeah. And there's times, though, I fail, too. Mm-hmm. But I want to live the majority of my life being thankful,
yeah,
positive.
Yeah, because there's so much power in that when you're able, even in that state, to find something to be appreciative about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you read The Hiding Place?
Is that the story of Corrie ten Boom? Yes. Yes. Yeah. I haven't read it, but yes, I've heard of it.
It's such a good book. So they were in a concentration camp, her and her mm-hmm. sister. And the sister was thankful for fleas.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're like, why are you thankful for fleas? Like, yeah. Because the workers didn't bother them, because it was so flea infested, and they got to do their Bible studies and praise God and do what they needed to do mm-hmm. to, you know, tell people about Jesus without being persecuted just yeah. because of the fleas.
Yeah.
And she was thankful, and that always stuck with me.
Oh my goodness. It's funny, because we've seen the torchlighters of that.
Yeah.
My kids always quote that part, for the itchy, itchy fleas.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is like the source of power right there, is when you like, because I mean, how many times do you, I don't know, like my kids, they like to get on each other's nerves. It's like, just don't ignore it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And I think that's what the enemy wants to do. That is the provoking mm-hmm. that tries to happen to make us lay down our peace and lay down our joy and lay down like any gratitude, so that we can start to focus on the attack that's happening and the war that's being waged on us.
Yeah.
But so once you reached out to Stephanie, how long after that initial interaction were you able to go ahead and go through with the surgery?
So this is a story in itself. Mm-hmm. I was scheduled for surgery in March. Mm-hmm. And this is tough financially, you know, having to travel and do all this. This wasn't going to be easy. And so we got there, and I needed to have a pre-op first. Mm-hmm. And I was in the pre-op waiting room, and I got a phone call on my phone. It's from Virginia. I'm like, huh? Mm. What's going on?
Yeah,
I answer it, and while I'm in pre-op, like waiting for my appointment, they're like, "I'm sorry, but your surgery is canceled. Dr. Stephanie is sick," and I was devastated.
And so you're traveling from the Midwest, and you're going to the East Coast, and you're there.
Yeah,
you've got secured the funding, all the things, did the travel.
Yeah.
And like you're in pre-op.
Yeah.
And they've canceled the appointment. Okay. Yeah. So aside from you wanting to jump off a cliff, what were you, how was your response, and what was Dustin's?
We were like, kind of like shocked, like, but we're like, well, she's a human. People get sick.
Of course. You guys are like, oh, well.
And some people are like, well, why don't you see a different doctor? I was like, no, I want to see this girl. Yeah. She specializes in this. I want to see her. Mm-hmm. And I was sad, but it's like, what can I do? Like, I'm just going to have to trust God. He owns a cattle on a thousand hill. He's going to provide again.
So did you guys end up staying there, or did you guys have to travel back home?
So the next available appointment wasn't until April 5th. So,
okay,
so it was like March 20th. So okay. We're just going to go home. And on the way home, the car broke down.
Oh, yeah. So of course it did. Of course it did.
It's like, this is like the, like what more can happen?
Right. So that happened.
It broke down in the driveway too.
Oh my gosh.
God got us home.
That, you know what? Always the silver lining. Always. Thank God. At least, I mean, seriously, that is a reason to praise God. Like, thank God we weren't halfway. Because what would you? Okay. So now you guys make it home. Your car's broke down. And you got to somehow figure out how you're going to make it back out there.
Yeah.
Now you have to secure vehicle and more financing, Airbnb or hotel stay. So how did you guys manage to do that?
Dr. Stephanie called, and she was crying. She was really sad. She was like, I really wanted to do this, like, but I guess she was just like throwing up, you know. It was like, you know, the kind of stuff you can't do surgery.
Yes, right.
And she's like, I'm so sorry. And She wanted to pay for the whole trip if she could. Mm-hmm. But that they were like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But she was very compassionate, but she was shocked at my husband and I's reaction. She was just like, most people would be really mean.
Yeah.
But I was like, how are we going to fault you for being sick?
Right. Again, speaks to, you guys are like a powerhouse. That is like incredible. Incredible. It's such a breath of fresh air to be able to hear, like, oh my gosh, a couple can like face adversity and do it with such grit and tenacity and get through it. And it's like, okay, we'll just figure it out. We'll just get through it. So sounds like you guys just both have a lot of strength and a lot of perspective in the right place. Is it at this point? Now, what is your battle plan now to get back out there?
Yeah. So we're like, okay, let's rent a car. Mm-hmm. So that was nice because it was fun driving a rental car.
Oh, yeah. Because it's clean for one. I love driving a rental. I'm like, yes, it's clean. It smells like leather. Yeah. My kids haven't gotten their jelly fingers all over anything.
And my husband's like, I want to get you the best one.
Oh, of course he did.
The most comfortable one. Yeah, I like that. It was nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then his friend bought us a hotel halfway. And then another friend was like, I feel led to buy your gas. Oh. And then the hospital said, we'll pay for your hotel before the pre-op.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, for the most part, we got there. I mean, we're still kind of struggling from the financialness of everything, but I know that God will carry us through.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll.
And that's like a whole testament to that, too. Because it's like, why would you allow this to happen? We're literally right there. And I mean, like, why?
Yeah.
And so, but then he kind of puts his love in full display in the situation, because now people are just stepping up left and right and offering to pay for this.
Yes, he's using God's using his people.
Yeah.
And I just love that.
Yeah. So now, because I have to ask now too, because you have all these people stepping up, aside from like Dustin as being the primary source of support, what other support avenues did you guys have like during this time?
We didn't really have much. We had, you know, Dustin's veterans. We just had to be really frugal. Mm-hmm. And I did like use a lot of CBD. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady in this town we're in, mm-hmm. that her prices were really good. Mm-hmm. And her brother actually has the same condition as me. And so, like, she was like, that was pretty neat. And that CBD really helped me get through until the surgery and stuff. And
You used that in place of the Humira?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. amazing. So that was just kind of like an alternative for you too.
Yeah. Yeah, but the skin's so damaged. That's why I chose to get surgery. If I didn't have to, I wouldn't do something so invasive.
Yeah.
But, like, it gave me my life back, and I'm very happy with the results.
Yeah. So we obviously know that you made it back out to Stephanie, and you went through with the surgery.
Yeah.
This time it actually happened.
Yeah.
It was a success, it sounds like.
It was. And I just remember waking up from the anesthesia, and I just wanted my husband.
Of course you did.
And I couldn't wait for him to just carry me away and take me home back to my babies. I hated being away, and I wanted to be home. And as soon as I was done with surgery, I was able to get out. We just hit the gas pedal.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We were going home.
Yeah. And okay, so your kids have such a treasure, such an inheritance in their parents, because they're getting to witness how you respond when you go through seasons of shaking, and life throws unexpected things at us, like diagnoses or loss or grief or whatever those circumstances. But your kids get to witness you and your husband going through this together, and it's not causing a division or cracks in your relationship. It's actually mending you guys that much more closer. So it sounds like your family has such like a strong foundation in terms of like the love that you guys have. So for your kids, does it give them like a sense of like security knowing that you guys have a strong marriage?
I think it's so healthy for kids to see their parents love each other and to go on dates and spend time with one another and talk good of one another. It's so good for them. It gives kids security. And I didn't grow up like that, and I wanted something different. And God's word is a blueprint, and I just wanted to follow God's word for what a marriage is. And we're teammates, and we work as a team.
Okay, so where are you at today? Like, how long ago did you have the surgery, and how was the recovery process?
So I felt like, okay, we know what we're doing this time. Mm-hmm. This isn't our first rodeo.
Yes.
And I felt like I was better mentally prepared. And also, I forgot to mention that when we talked to Dr. Stephanie, she was like, I only like to do one armpit at a time. Mm-hmm. And we were like, I was like scared. I was like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, it's torturous doing two. Oh, no. And my husband's like, sorry, she has to do two. And I was looking at him like, oh. And she was like, okay. She was very respectful.
Yeah.
Like, we can't come back. We just can't. Like, we have to do two. It's going to be torture. But my husband's like, I'm going to take care of her. Like, she's my queen.
Yeah. You're like, okay. Oh, I love that.
So yeah, so I had to get them both done, you know, get my other part fixed too. And we came home and I was on my healing journey again, and we were better equipped. And we had a friend that shared on her Facebook. I had an Amazon list of wound care needs, and her friend list, wow, just poured in, because we were having trouble because the insurance only covers so much.
Yeah.
And they just got me the most nicest stuff and diapers too. And it really helped bless our family.
Yeah.
And it's just God using his people again.
Yeah.
And it was a much better recovery, and I was healed in about like 6 months, but at the 4 month mark I was able to do more things and stuff like that. Of course the first week is always really hard, but like Dr. Stephanie would call and be like, give me encouragement, and like she's like, I promise you at the third week you're going to start feeling better. And I just clung to that.
Yes.
Okay.
You're like, counting down the days. Yeah.
And it was true. I was like, how does she know? And then after the surgery, she was also like, okay, how do you feel? It felt like something was out of my armpits. It felt like a release.
Oh, wow.
It felt good.
Yeah. So now, and this was, how long ago did you have the surgery?
So it's been about a year.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I had it April 5th, and it's April like 9th or...
So I got, okay, so this was really cool. And I'm going to post the pictures of what you sent me on. But so you had this amazing date that was kind of divinely picked out, April 5th.
Yes.
And so April 5th, what happened on the two April 5ths that were like a year apart? Yeah.
April 5th was my wound care appointment for the bottom area where the wound care doctor prayed that in Jesus' name that this would not happen again and that would be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And then April 5th of the next year is when I got the HS surgery for my armpits. And like, I just made that connection of those 2 days. And it just felt like God speaking to me. It was his timing.
Yeah.
It was his divine timing.
Yeah. And that, which was so cool because that was the day that the surgery got canceled, right? Because it was supposed to be in March.
Yeah, and it was scheduled April 5th.
And it was scheduled, rescheduled
that,
April 5th.
Exactly a year from that beautiful prayer. And of course, we prayed before surgery too, that everything would go well and I would be healed.
Yes. It's just so, it's so amazing because you see the story like beautifully woven together. I'm sure when you're in it, you're just like, oh my gosh, just I just want to get it done. Who cares about the stupid date? Who cares about the, I don't care. Just get it done. Because you're not really able to process all of that. You're just kind of, I don't know. I know for us, we were kind of in some survival mode a lot of the time. But then when you're able to step back and like really reflect, you know, you're just like, oh my gosh, there, how could this line up? Like you couldn't even plan that out. It was just so divine. It was a kiss from heaven that God was like, hey, just so you know, this is my fingerprint, you know,
yes.
And his hand was on it all along. It reminds me of that poem, The Footprints in the Sand, where you're like, I looked back and there was only one footprint, set of footprints. You're like, and Jesus, like, I was carrying you. Those were mine. It gives me goosebumps. But what is any type of encouragement you could give to anyone who's dealing with any condition or disease and it's got them way down, it's got them feeling hopeless and helpless? What's some practical advice that you could give them that can bring some type of encouragement or something for them to cling to? I know I'm kind of asking a lot right now, like some steps that they could do to kind of weather the storm.
I would tell others who are struggling with new health diagnosis or in the thick of one is that it's okay to grieve. It's okay to be sad. But don't let that become your identity. Pick yourself up. This is a battle. Fight. Don't give up. The storm may be raging, but there will be a calm. Again, for reprieve. I will not say this is my disease. I have walked out of this. And it's not who I am. I am a daughter of the King. and in heaven I will get a new glorified body. I'm looking forward to that day. But for now, fight the good fight. If you have to take it 1 second at a time. I was in agony. It's true. We may not understand why our bodies fail us, but we're only mortal, so take heart and God will lead you the way.
That is, yeah, that is so powerful. It's so true. So many times the things that we suffer through, we take that on, that that is our identity when we're battling. And a lot of us just kind of accept it because we're too tired to fight. And we just want to let go and just surrender to whatever the demise is, because we're like, I have no more strength left in me. I've lost my vision. I've lost hope. I don't even know what to look forward to or to cling to. All I know is that I'm in pain. You know, the darkness really seems to overshadow any hope or any light or any prospect of freedom even. Mm-hmm. It's like, is God punished me? Did you ever struggle with that? Like, did you ever ask yourself, is this a punishment from God or is this the enemy? Like, did you ever kind of battle that in your mind, like trying to discern what this was all about?
Yeah, I did. I was like, I did wonder, like, could this be a punishment like Job or something? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like, I know that our bodies are mortal and we live in a sinful world, and that sometimes we have kinks and we're just going to have to work through it, and we're going to have a glorified body one day.
Oh, yes.
And that's what keeps me going. I think about heaven and our glorified body and how wonderful it's going to be.
Yes. Yes. That is like our ultimate hope, our ultimate time of rest is like, oh God, I made it.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. I love that. I really appreciate you like being so vulnerable and so transparent in terms of like your relationship and the struggle, the way you had to like really press through and endure the circumstance because you were battling the doctors, you're battling your own inclinations to kind of like be depressed, and you know, the feelings that kind of come to overshadow us in those moments. You and your husband have just been like a massive testament to what it looks like when you can make it on the other side and really cling to the truth, not give up, not lose heart. And I say that too because I'm sure there are moments when there are weak moments where you're like, I don't know, you know, when you're crying on the bed and you're just like, I don't know if I can do this, but I don't know, something inside you says, I can't let go. I can't like surrender to this. I'm going to keep going. And whether it's hearing the sound of your son's footprints coming in the room, you're like, it's Max's footprints coming at me. I can't let go. I have to show him what it looks like, what a fighter looks like. I have to show them, you know, what this looks like. So that kind of, I think that kind of gives moms this, you know, this thing like, I can't give up. My kids are watching me. I'm a witness to them right now. And I think that kind of also gives us the drive to keep going and the ambition to not give up. Where do your kids like have a fear of like a recurrence of this, or are they afraid that, is this like a genetic thing that could possibly be passed down?
Yeah, so they say that can be genetic, but I'm not going to like think about it, worry about it, because I know that's not healthy to think about the future too much and be in the moment. But I am taking proactive steps for myself too, to just keep on the ball of being healthy.
Yeah.
And one of them, if anybody's listening that might have HS, is laser hair removal is actually really good. So like if I had known about that in the early stages for my armpits, I could have done that.
Okay.
So laser hair removal and working on my diet too, and and just thinking good positive thoughts, because it can be scary, but like, I don't know the future, and I pray that this doesn't happen to my children, yeah. And that's all I can do.
Yeah. I think it's like what you said. You can't look too much into it because none of us knows what the future holds, but we do know who does hold our future. We yeah. do know that he who was faithful to see us through and was able to get you guys to the East Coast the first time was the same one that got you guys to the East Coast the second time. And this time on a really special day, like an ordained day that was meant to be, which makes it that much more special. Yeah. I'm like, that is so beautiful. So you're doing much better.
Yeah.
What percentage of healing would you say that you're at right now?
I would say like, I'm like 95% healed. Wow. Like I might have a little bit of issue here and there, but it's really like I'm very functional.
Yeah.
I'm like strength training.
Yeah, nice.
And I'm learning to manage my home better and just keep up with the house and the kids. And that's a full-time job.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I just feel very excited. Like I have a zest for life. I know what it's like to be bedbound and just be hopeless, and I have more compassion and I just want to share my story so if anybody can be helped by it.
Yeah. One last question. Do you feel like you needed this season in your life to maybe refine some things or maybe take you to a deeper level or a deeper knowledge, maybe a deeper level of compassion or a deeper level of understanding? Did it reveal more of God's nature or his love for you and your family? Did it, like, what was it about this season that you can, because so many times a lot of people go through dark seasons and it scars them for the rest of their life. They're defined by that season forever. They're just like, and they become embittered and angry that they went through it, and so they just kind of relive it their whole life.
Yeah.
And so what is it about this season that you can walk away and maybe there is residual trauma or residual negative feelings, but overall, do you feel like what this season brought you?
Yeah. This season brought me like, I never ever thought I would be thankful for what happened to me, but I am, because it showed me how much I need the Lord and how fragile we are as humans, and just needing the Lord during that time and clinging to him. And then just having my husband, you know, he brushed my hair for me. He washed my hair and he took such good care of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so glad that my children got to see that. And I'm just like, this is a kind of husband, ladies. I have 6 daughters that you need to marry. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And sons, this is what you need to do for your wife. Yeah. And take care of her, love her like Jesus loved the church and gave himself to us. And I'm just so thankful and excited that I got to be healed and that I have new armpits.
Yes.
I'm just feeling good. And I got through and I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to be thankful.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's like such a powerful weapon. Megan, did you want to close us off in prayer for any of our listeners who may be going through any type of dark season in their life? Maybe they're just going through divorce or any type of dark season, dark night of the soul, we'll call it. Would you like to pray for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. There, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time we had together. And thank you for the listeners today too, Lord. And thank you for this divine moment in time that we are having. And we pray for anybody that is going through sickness or grief, trauma, any issue in life that is just tearing them up, Lord, I pray that you put your healing wings over them, Lord, and just bring your light into the situation. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, you nailed our sicknesses and to the cross 2,000 years ago. And we claim your healing, Lord, and we're so thankful for your healing while we're on this earth. And if we don't get our healing when we are up in heaven, Lord, mm-hmm. and Lord, we just ask for strength and grit for all the issues we may be facing, and that you will renew us, Lord, and help us to keep walking the straight and narrow. And Lord, just be with the listeners and give them peace and encouragement that they can face this, whatever they're facing, with God by their side, holding them up. And we give you all the praise and glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. I do have to say this too, because, you know, not a lot of women's stories are told, especially stay-at-home moms. We're like the nameless and the faceless. We're the prop masters behind the scenes making things happen. And so it is like such an honor to put a face to a victorious story and actually give people someone to lay their eyes on. You know, we're just everyday moms. we're trying to figure out how to make sourdough bread and stay alive and find our chicken dealers, you know. That's all we're trying to do in life.
Right, yeah.
And so I just think it's amazing that God is raising up voices of warriors that have been through the fire. Mothers that are just, there's nothing necessarily special about us. It's not like we have major degrees or have chased accolades or anything like that. But the fact that you've made it, you've clung to your faith in such a way and have been able to forge this amazing story of resilience and faith with both you, your, as a family. I feel like there's been such a deterioration of families in our nation, the rise of divorce and, you know, the fathers leaving the home. And so to be able to hear a story that it has a family that's been so marked, and, you know, we're just, again, just normal families, just nothing particularly special. I'm so glad that you were able to give testimony that is going to give so many people hope and a sense of freedom to be like, oh my gosh, you know, there's that verse in Revelation that says that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it's amazing to see that I'm like right next to you, these overcomers. So I think more than being in the same room with some major celebrity, I feel really honored to be in the room with somebody who's really weathered the storm and clung to their faith. That like means so much to me. So thank you so much for being on my show, Megan.
Thank you.
And we're going to have to hit up that coffee shop again, girl.
Yeah.
All right. And thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, you guys continue to rebuild your ruins.
Rebuilding Ruins. Catch me every Tuesday. If this has blessed you, make sure to share. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on how this episode impacted you or topics you would like to hear on future episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up on all the latest content. Until next time, my fellow builders.